digress a little bit from the Father's heart this morning. Digress. And talk about something that's close to his heart. And I think sometimes the church gets it very mixed up because of our Christianese ways. Who knows there's a Christianese language in the church? Hey? Isn't there? There really is, isn't there? How are you going? Yeah, well, praise the Lord, amen, glory. Thank you, Jesus. And you haven't really answered the question. You just said all this rhetoric, which is irrelevant. And God needs us to be real. Amen? God needs us to be real. The title of my message this morning is Living an Anointed Life. Living an Anointed Life. Did Jesus come to give me life and life more abundantly?
Yes.
Amen. He wants me to live an anointed life, not just any life. A life led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Because if he leads me by the Spirit, there'll be an anointing on the Spirit. It's not your anointing. It's not my anointing. It's his anointing. Amen. We have Christianese language like saying things like, did you feel the anointing here this morning? As if the anointing is held by your feelings. Or wasn't that word a real, wasn't a real anointing on that word? Well, the truth is, the anointing is the difference between a word of the flesh and a word of the Spirit. It's the anointing that's on it. But it's not by my feelings of that word. Amen? Words like, we release the anointing. Well, no, you actually don't release it. God releases the anointing. And sometimes we get so mixed up that we usurp the authority, or we expect that God will just do what we tell him to do. The language of David in the book of Psalms, it's something that you really need to consider and meditate on. Because a lot of times when he talks about the Lord, he says, may the Lord. He doesn't say the Lord will. He says, may the Lord do. May the Lord bless. It's this thing that it's up to you, Father. It's not what I'm saying. But when it comes to things like himself, it says, I will. He can make a decision because it's within his control. Amen. So sometimes in our Christian walks, we can get into a place of jargonese, Christianese. And I want to talk about the anointing this morning, because the anointing is not something that is man-made. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not if someone cries and says, oh, I feel the anointing. That is not the anointing. I mean, the anointing can do that to you, but that is not the anointing. The anointing is something profound given by God, and it's ordered. It's very ordered. David was anointed with a horn of oil. You heard me say this last week. Saul was anointed with a flask, man-made. David was anointed with a horn, God-made. Amen? And so some people can get confused with charisma to the anointing. Charisma is not the anointing. Or exuberance. But that's not the anointing. I really don't think Paul was quite a exuberant sort of man, to be honest. I think he was quite highly intellectual. Quite reserved. This is how I see Paul. I like to get to know the guys. Yet, when he spoke, you hung off every word he said because there was weight with it. That's the anointing. Amen? It's not a fuzz and it's not a buzz and it's not a chill down one spine. They can be a part of it, but please, if they're there, praise the Lord. You can have them without the anointing. The anointing should bring change to my life. Amen. The anointing makes a distinction in your life. It is there to make a distinction. Hallelujah. And if you're born again here this morning, you don't have to keep asking God to fill you with an anointing. You have and anointing. Amen? The problem is sometimes we don't feel we have that anointing because we don't feel. Yet the anointing is an operation by faith. It's not how I feel, it's not how I express, it's by an operation of faith. So when I lay hands on someone, I'm operating by what? Faith. Then God releases the anointing that is resident in me to it, or the problem, to see the problem come to pass. See the problem zipped out. All right? So the anointing is not something mysterious or mystic at all. It's something very profound that God has utilized, and it makes a distinction in the house of God to those that are not in the house of God. That God commanded Moses to make us and used to separate those things that used to be or used to be in his service. Things like the priests were anointed. Moses' tabernacle. The first mention. Exodus chapter 30 or 32. The priests were anointed. Yeah? The utensils were anointed. Everything in the holy holies, in the holy place, was all anointed. Amen? Everything that God requires for service is anointed. Therefore, if you are a born-again believer here this morning, now as the temple of God, you have an anointing residing where? Within you. Because he requires it for his service. You are set aside for his service. Amen? You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. And he's filled the vessel up with himself. Amen? It says that there's a distinction. In Exodus 30, verse 22 to 25. Let's turn there. It says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, take the following fine spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, which is about 5.7 kilos, half as much as that, 250 shekels of fragrant cinnamon, which is 2.85 kilos, fragrant calamus, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the sanctuary, and a hin of oil or a gallon of olive oil, and make them into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of the perfumer. I'll read on. It will be sacred anointing oil. Everything the tabernacle used in God's service has to be anointed. It will be a sacred anointing oil. In fact, later down in the chapter, it says if you abuse that oil, you cut off. That's what it says. But you notice that it was not anyone that could mix this specificity of the oil and the herbs. It had to be the perfumer, the apocrypha, had to mix it. He knows exactly the balance of everything that is needed in the anointing of God. That person is the Holy Ghost, right? And later on, it won't be today. We'll have to do it another day. We'll look at what each part of the anointing is and what it means, all right? The spices specifically in the oil. But you've got to understand, it's the Holy Ghost. He measures things out for my life because he knows that the cinnamon, the cassia, is actually the same thing as an inward cleansing. He knows what I need to have that right inward cleansing. It's individual. He needs everything I need for my life. He understands and he designs it to suit me. Because he wants this anointing not to be an outward experience and an outward release or an outward touch for people's lives. He wants the anointing to work within you, to bring you forth, right, as Christ's vessel in this hour. Amen? So every time I understand, every time I realize and understand that I have an anointing within me, this anointing is at work in my life to bring me forth into the vessel that he's prepared me to be. So you'll go through trouble. You'll go through situations and circumstances. And all the time, the anointing is trying to bring forth the Christ in you. You'll go through maybe bouts of anger, bouts of resentment, bouts of unforgiveness. Stuff. Some of the bouts I go through is on the road. I have very little patience with people on the road. I am getting better. At least I can say the name now, patience. I couldn't even say that before. I'm getting better. And I'll probably have to work on that till the day I die. Probably. While there's some peanuts around me drive the way they drive, I'm being honest, it will take a work of God. I mean, it will take a miracle for me. Because honestly, I reckon some of them got the license out of a Wheaties packet. Seriously. Anyway, that's an area that the anointing is working in my life to deal with me. All right? I'm a little bit like Peter. My mouth runs away with me before I speak. And then I wish I hadn't spoke what I said. But it's too late what I've said. So I'm learning to hum a lot. Hum, and you grab it back. Hum, you stop it. So every one of us has something that we're battling with. And can I have an amen? The Bible says, therefore laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets me. Easily besets me. He knows my button. He knows that thing. That thing is different to your thing. So it's crazy for you to compare me to you because my thing is not your thing. So leave me alone. That's what he was saying this morning in communion. Crazy to talk about people because they don't have the same thing as you. But I guarantee you, you do have a thing. I guarantee it. You will have a thing. Amen. And here's another thing us Christians do. I'm not bagging us today. I'm trying to help us. Christians will do this. We categorize sin. We do. So we have an order of 1 to 10. And I'll hear Christians say, well, you know, it's only a little white lie. No, no, no. It's a lie. No, no, it's a little white. There's no such thing as a white lie. It's just a lie. Well, I didn't harm anyone with it. Well, you did. You harmed yourself. You lied. Right? But then let's go to a 10. They committed adultery. That's a 10. Do we say that's a 10? That's a big one, isn't it? Usually in Christian circles, that's a big one. Oh, they need help. But my Bible says in Revelations, no adulterer nor liar shall inherit the kingdom of God. But what I've done in my Christian ethos, thinking, I've categorized this less than this. God hates all sin. What we do, we categorize the sin because it makes us feel better. Amen? We've got to stop that. For all have. How many of us have sinned? Every one of us. Every one of us. And yet his grace was sufficient for me. Amen? We need to know that the work of the perfumer with the sacred oil is working in your life inwardly and outwardly to bring glory to his name. Are you with me? This same anointing is said to have the power to break the yoke in Isaiah 10:27. It has the power to break the yoke. In fact, that's not a really good interpretation of that scripture at all. That word anointing literally in the Hebrew means fatness. In fact, it's only ever interpreted that way once in the whole Bible, that Hebrew word, once, as the anointing in there. It literally means the fatness. In other words, it's not by what I speak. Don't get me wrong, the anointing does break yokes because he says, I've come, right, to minister to the poor and to break their sicknesses and diseases and all that. So it does. But in that scripture, it literally means fatness. as you grow in the Lord, as you grow in the Lord, yokes will break. I don't need a brother or a sister all the time to come and lay hands on me to break yokes. As you grow and mature in the Lord, yokes will break. Amen. And that's literally what he's saying in Isaiah 10. Turn with me to Psalm 20, verse 6. You'll have to look it up. I haven't written it down for you. Psalm 20, verse 6. It says, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. 20 verse 6. Now I know that the Lord has saved his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. God saves the anointed. Amen. Who has an anointing? Who has an anointing? You do. We need to know what the anointing is not before we need to know what the anointing is. The anointing is not a one-time event. Just because you got laid hands on once to receive the anointing, that is not the end of it. In the book of Acts, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. How many times? Lots of times. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? The anointing can be imparted to me by the Holy Ghost more and more every day of my life. I do not have to be submitted to one event in my life. When a circumstance or situation arises and I don't feel I've got the capacity or the strength, all I have to say is, God, help me. Lord, help me. Anoint me for this situation. And God will anoint you to overcome that situation in your life. Don't keep looking back at a one-time event that I was anointed, therefore it's all been done, and I don't have to do anything about it. You have to keep asking God to increase the anointing on your life when situations and circumstances come into your life where you have not got the control. Lord, I need your anointing. Shepherds would carry a horn of oil to seal their head. So David was a shepherd. It was not uncommon for a shepherd in the day to carry a horn of oil. So when the sheep were released and they were eating, if they were eating from thorny areas and stuff like that, they would get cut. So the shepherd would get his horn and pour the oil upon the sheep's head. Because what would happen is once it's cut, flies would come. And it would want to lay its eggs in the cuts. So David was a shepherd? He would carry a flask with him of oil. He would pick up the sheep, or he'd get a hold of the sheep, grab the oil, pour the oil over the head sheep and rub its head to stop the infestation of flies. Amen? That's where Jesus said that he has anointed my head. The problem is, if you allow just the oil to stay there and stagnate and go moldy, the flies would come back. So he would have to keep anointing its head till that area is healed. Amen? And once it's healed, the flies won't bother. Well, they do, but not as bad. Therefore, it's necessary if there's a wound or a cut in my heart and my spirit, and you've been touched by the Lord once, don't stop. Say, God, keep pouring in. God, keep touching that area of my life. God, I need a fresh anointing today. In fact, David says, Lord, I need your fresh oil today. David wasn't happy with just the old oil. He wanted his new oil every day. Amen? I need to be in communion and fellowship with the Lord so he can anoint my head. Hallelujah. He can anoint my head. And in fact, get this space between my head anointed so it becomes free from the things and the contaminants of the world that will try and poison me. Hallelujah. I need his anointing to do that. It is not a one-time event. Don't be satisfied in your walk thinking, well, is this it? There is more of God that he requires to give you than you could even imagine or think. Who wants the more? In fact, if you look at, I can't remember the name of the book now, Hezekiah, I think. And it talks about the two witnesses standing before the throne of God and the two wiles from the side of the trees coming down at the side of the thrones. Do you remember that? If you literally look that up, it literally means this, sons of fresh oil. They are the sons of fresh oil, attached to the throne of God, allowing the flow to flow through them for the presence of the Lord. Amen. I think that's Zechariah 4. I think. David said, I shall be anointed in Psalm 92, verse 10. David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Here's another thing. The anointing does not stop you avoiding trouble. I'm going to say that again. The anointing does not avoid you from trouble. You will still go through things. David was anointed as a king, went back to the sheep, saw a Goliath and slain his Goliath. Days later, he's playing his gift before the king. Remember that, Saul? Because he was tormented by an evil spirit from the Lord. Amen? He was playing his gift. He was a musician. He was playing the gift. Now, you think if the man was under the anointing of God, experienced the anointing of God, it would have brought a peace. What did Saul do? He threw a spear at him. So there's a man anointed in a gift, and he's getting a spear thrown at him. Just because you're anointed does not avoid you from trouble. You will still go through things. You will still have to suffer some things. In fact, some of us might even have to suffer death one day. David gets anointed. So there's others where David just had the spear thrown at him. He hid in caves. He ran away. He feigned madness to save his life. He's anointed. Anointing does not avoid trouble. Footnote hint. A walk of faith is not a walk that saves you from trouble. A walk of faith is success in trouble. Come on now. Away with this doctrine of if you're a Christian, everything's going to be sweet by and by. You're going to have your pink Mercedes. You're not going to have any of that. Or your pink Cadillac or whatever you want. Ain't going to happen. Success, a walk of faith, is success in the midst of trouble. You're still living a successful Christian life in the midst of trouble. Oh, sorry, darling. Give me the next slide, son. Day of Pentecost, 1,000 people got saved. Amen. Thousands got saved. People got healed. People got delivered. Some of them went to prison. Same people. Some of them died. And some got crucified upside down. Anointed. The anointing doesn't save you from trouble. If I can get anything through your heads today, the anointing doesn't save you from trouble. It will cause you to have success in the midst of your trouble, but it won't save you from trouble. The third thing is the anointing is not optional. If you're a Christian, you have an anointing. If you're a Christian here this morning, you have an anointing. Everything God wants to use in his service must be anointed in Leviticus 6, 10 to 13. Leviticus 8, 10 to 13. Everything God uses, he anoints. The anointing is the mark of distinction. You are separated by God by the anointing. The difference between a sermon and an anointed sermon is not the words that are spoken, but the anointing or the power of God upon the word that it is. So you can be known for your affluence and you can be known for your elegant speech and all that, and that's all wonderful and that's all good. But unless God's power's on it, it's going to change nothing. It's going to change nothing. When God backs his word, there is an anointing on the word. Amen. And the anointing will break the yoke. The difference between, I've read that. And Jesus in Mark 4 verse 18 says, he was anointed to preach the good news to the poor. He was anointed to preach the good news to the who? Now, he doesn't mean poor money-wise. He means poor in spirit. He means, yeah, they might be poor in love. They might be poor in joy. They might be poor in health. They might be poor in what have I got here? Emotion. They might be poor in anything like that, right? Poor means there's an insufficiency in their life. There's an insufficiency in their life. They're poor, right? Poor in health. Now we say, oh, they're poorly. They're going to be poor in health. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. So he is my sufficiency when I'm insufficient. Jesus was anointed to preach to the poor. Is that right? He was anointed to preach to the poor, so he became my sufficiency in my insufficiency, if that makes sense. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became what? He became poor. He became poor that you might become what? So you're not poor in joy, you're not poor in love, you're not poor in strength, you're not poor in all them areas of life. He wants you rich in that. He purposely became poor. The rich became poor for me, that I might, the poor might become rich in him. And it's all found in him. It's all found in him, rich in his sufficiency, rich in his mercy, rich in his grace, rich in his love, rich in his forgiveness, rich in life. Who wants to be rich? 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 to 22 says this, for all the promises of God in him are what? All the promises of God in him are what? Yes and amen to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is who? Who has anointed us? God. God. Who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The Holy Spirit. He has anointed me with the Holy Spirit. He resides in my heart, and he is the guarantee of my future. Amen. So this anointing is not a feeling. This anointing is not a substance that's floaty out there. Ooh, I feel the anointing. It's not that. In fact, may I be really bold and say this. He's a person called the Holy Ghost. And with him comes all the authority and the power of God himself. And he resides within you. And so when you speak on his behalf, he will have the weight of his glory behind that word which you speak. If you speak on your behalf, it's your weight. But when you speak on his behalf, because he's given you a word to speak, there is power in that word. When he tells you to reach out your hands and lay hands on the sick, there is power in your hand. When he tells you to prophesy something and it's a word of the Lord for someone, there is power in that word. Because he resides within you. No longer does he have to just come upon someone and leave, like in the Old Testament. He resides within you. He lives within you. The Godhead bodily lives and resides within you. And therefore, everything that heaven has is with him. So when you speak on his behalf, heaven is activated. Hallelujah. I don't have to go around saying, I feel. I'm not trying to bag people. Please hear my heart. But you get caught, we get caught up in these cliches. And they just Christianese cliches. I feel the feeling. We've even had a discussion at home. She goes, did you feel the anointing on that? I said, no. She goes, you didn't? I said, no. She goes, was there anointing on that? I said, no, you felt it. And I said, I don't have to feel it to be anointed. What it has to do is witness with my spirit and bring change to my soul. I don't have to worry about a heebie-jeebie, uppy-downy, fuzzy-buzzy. I don't need all that. He does sometimes. And he'll witness with people that need that. If you need that, he'll probably do that for you. I mean, the way he talks to my wife, he doesn't talk to me like that. I love you with an endless love. Oh, come here, my darling. I love you with an endless love. I said, what did God say to you this morning? He loves me. You see, well, then the wife will say, what do you say to you this morning? He says, get up. Get up. I'm tired. Doesn't matter. Get up. All right, Lord. I said, why does he say that to me? You know what? You know if he said that to me? I know why. If he said that to me, I'd stay in bed. I love with an Israel. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'll just have another 5 minutes. No. The anointing resides within you for a purpose of the work of God. Amen. That God wants to release through you in the moments that he got you designed to touch people's lives. Hallelujah. There is divine appointments already set up for you in your future that God wants to release through you to touch people's lives and set the captive free. And I don't have to wait for a feeling. I don't have to wait for a buzz. I have to live an anointed lifestyle. Hallelujah. An anointed lifestyle. Can I have 2 more minutes? I know I went on a bit long. Can I have 2 more minutes? I want to share with you the 5 things that the anointing means. What it's made up from. But we're not going to go into it. Is that all right? Yeah. The last one of my points is the anointing cannot be stolen. The anointing cannot be stolen. Who can steal the Holy Ghost from you? Oh, I feel I've lost it. As if the Holy Spirit gets lost. I've lost the anointing. As if the Holy Spirit, come on. I mean, he knows your address, for goodness sake. I feel like I've lost the anointing. No. What you feel is a disconnection. Because he never leaves me nor. Yeah, but he's still there. My wife just said, but we can leave him. I said, yeah, but he's still there. He's still there. The first thing he mentioned was myrrh. Myrrh means meekness. Literally means submission to the ways and the direction of the Spirit. That's the first ingredient of the anointing oil. Myrrh, meekness. We won't go into it. Second one is cinnamon. Means uprightness, large tree. Cut down because it was so straight. Uprightness, having a walk that is worthy of the Lord. Uprightness of the Spirit. Amen. That's all I'm going to give you because it's on the other page. I can remember them. There's cassia. Cassia speaks of actually an inward cleansing. It's where you get that, I can't remember what it's called now, where people, you know, when they've got constipation, they take a tablet and they're laxative. That's exactly what comes out of it. The oil is a laxative. It's an inward cleansing. Amen. The olive oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. All right? And they all have to be mixed and weighed together for your purpose by the Holy Spirit himself. Glory to God. In a couple of weeks' time, we'll go on to the rest of the 5, what it literally means for my life, because every one of them represents something for me. Something for me. Am I submitted to him? Have I surrendered my life fully to him? Am I walking the walk that he desires for my life? Straight, standard. Doing all to stand, stand therefore. Doing all to stand, stand. He wouldn't ask me to stand if I couldn't stand. I've got to stand in the anointing of heaven. When all hell is breaking loose, I've still got to stand. Doesn't mean I don't feel. And it doesn't mean I don't suffer. And it doesn't mean I don't get rebuked or whatever's happening to me. But I can still stand in my storm. Because of that anointing that's within me. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. So the anointing doesn't avoid me from trouble. In fact, it helps me in my trouble. Glory to God. We need to kill this thing real quick. There is no quick escape from trouble. He who endures to the end of what? The days of trouble. Tribulation. There is a walking through the trouble. Amen. And if I'm not prepared for that, my foundations can be shaken. And I'll be asking, God, where are you? God, where are you in the midst of this? But if I understand the anointing abides within me to guide me through my trouble, I can sit on the back of the boat in the midst of my storm because I have a word from him. Why could Jesus sleep in the back of the boat? Why was 12 fishermen, or 11 fishermen, worried that they weren't going to get to the other side? Yet Jesus could sit on the back asleep in a boat. What's the difference? Jesus had a word from his Father to go to the other. That's it. If Father spoke it, it's going to happen. And when you have a word, you can hang your hat in the middle of a storm. It's going to happen. Amen? That's why I must be in communion with the Father and the Spirit so I can hear the direction of the Spirit in this hour like never before. But what's happening in the body of Christ today is we're running from place to place, TV set to TV set, this one to that one, instead of getting the presence of the great teacher himself and saying, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. And I'm not against great preachers and I'm not against hearing sermons. I'm all for that. But not at the expense of your word. You must be a student of your word. Because the word will captivate your heart and keep you in your hour. Amen? And some of us struggle with that. Has anyone ever struggled reading their Bible? We can be honest. We're normal. You know, we all do it. You can put your hand up too, darling. Yeah, that's right. We're all. Are we not the same? All temptation is common to all of us. All of us go through the same stuff. We're not unique in temptation. We're all going through the same sort of rubbish in life. Some succeed in areas that I don't. Y'all succeed in areas you don't. But it's all that place. What I need is to be a student of the word that he will guide me in my midnight hour. Hallelujah. He'll be a lamp to my feet. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the... there I shall fear no... Why? Because to have a shadow, you have to have a light. To have a shadow, you must have light. Therefore, in the darkest of darkest places, there's still a light. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And all darkness is a lack of light. That's all it is. But even when I'm lacking it, he's so gracious to me to cause a shadow to happen for me so I can see my way out of it. Yea, though, he didn't say stay there. Yea, though I walk, you will get through it if you keep on walking. Hallelujah. Do you love him? Hallelujah. You might be going through a valley experience right now. And there's no shame. Here's another. There is no shame in going through a valley experience. We all go through it. All right? What I need is, brothers and sisters in the Lord, is to lift up my hands in the midst of my battle. Come on now. There's no shame. There's no shame in doing something that... What I've got to get is a place saying, I can come before Jesus, give it to him, and not be ashamed amongst my brethren. Hold my hands up, please. Pray with me. Pray for me. My Bible says, confess your faults one to another. Yeah, you go to people and say, here you go. Praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. God is good. God is good. Glory to Jesus. Then you go in the car and he's talking to his wife like she's a devil. It's the truth. We need to be real. How are you going? Not too good. What's the problem? Having a real bad time with this or that or this. Let's pray. And you know what? When that comes about, when that spirit really comes into the church, there's a safety. Because when they're praying with me, they're a vault. They won't be on the phone. Guess what? I just had to go and pray for it. You know what? They go through real stuff. You know? Oh, really? Oh, I better get them on the prayer chain. Really, the prayer chain becomes a gossip session. Guess what? You know, they go through all this stuff. I don't know what they're going through. They must have done something wrong. What if Jesus hung your washing out? I mean your real washing. Not your Christianese testimony. I mean your real washing. You know? Hung it out with all the names. But he wouldn't do that, would he? Of course he wouldn't do that. So why do I do that? Anyway, praise the Lord. Shift. Hallelujah. Father, you know our struggles, you know our trials, you know our circumstances, you know our situations. Nothing is hidden from you. Even the very thoughts and intents of my heart are known before I even speak them. So, Father, we come before you naked and unashamed. Naked and unashamed, Father, and I say, Lord, here I am. I refuse the fig leaves of life. I refuse them. I refuse them. I'd rather you find me as I am instead of me trying to cover up stuff. So therefore, God, I place it at the foot of the cross, my stuff. And I say, here it is. Lord, anoint me afresh this morning to walk in the power and the authority of your Spirit. I thank you today. There is fresh oil for me from your throne. And I receive it by grace and by faith. In Jesus' name, to be that man and that woman you've designed and created me to be. I thank you, Father. Even in the midst of my troubles, I will still praise you. In my mornings, I will praise you. In my evenings, I will praise you. In the middle of the day, I will praise you. For you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thank you, you're my rock. You're my fortress and my shield. In Jesus' name. Amen. He's a good God who does good things. Amen. And you are an anointed and have an anointing from the Holy One that you may know all things. You may know all things. Didn't say you can do all things. You may know all things. Amen. If you're in fellowship with Him. Glory to God. Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee if you need some prayer.